home, and I'll have Kim, who's our program manager of special events, give you an overview of the event this year. But I want to remind everyone of the history of the event. We provided for you the summary that was provided to the city council first of last year, which provided a comprehensive history of the 4th of July event, as well as a fact sheet on the top to give you some of the bullets regarding the decisions that were made. At the February 28th meeting of the city council decided and directed the staff to hold an event for the 4th of July for this year, to make it a three-hour event. And we decided the theme was Celebrate America, Celebrate San Ramon. To include a concert with a well-known band, which we'll explain that in a moment, we did. To decorate the park in patriotic colors. To provide an opportunity for the local Blue Star Moms to use the venue as a collection point for their organization. And then they also, that evening, directed the Parks and Community Services Commission to lead a committee made up of citizens and Parks and Community Services Commission members to plan a future program for 2013 and beyond, which is why we're here today to start that process. So with that, it's a little busy. You want me to do it? You want to talk about it? Okay. So let me just go over, I don't know if all of you attended this year, but you did, attended this year's event. But it is a day-long event, which starts in the morning with our Run San Ramon. And this year we had approximately 900 participants. It's a 10K, 5K walk, and a 3K fun walk. The race starts right in front of this community center. And starts and ends here. We give awards, medals for the top three finishers, and all participants receive lots of fresh fruit, ice cream, other refreshments. We have sponsors for this year's event, which were Chevron, Forward Motion, Skyhawks, Dr. Dollar Ball, Sundeep Cosmetics, Pop Chips, and Pete's Coffee. So very successful event. Our typical attendance is between 800 and 1,000, so this year was no exception. And then in the afternoon, we did Celebrate America, Celebrate San Ramon out here in the amphitheater area. And this year's event had approximately 2,000 people, though there were other folks, can't count them all, spread out having their family picnics in the park. The attendees enjoyed listening to patriotic music. Our San Ramon Symphonic Band played under the direction of David Turner. And then we had a special tribute to the Armed Forces. It was very special. And Mayor Clarkson is here. Welcome the crowd. And California High School freshman Ari McBach, did I pronounce that correctly? She was wonderful, by the way. Did a beautiful rendition of the national anthem. We had a flag ceremony by Boy Scout Troop 834. And then the symphonic band played the medley of patriotic music for each branch of the armed forces, in which it was requested that if there were any veterans in the army, they come down. And so they were recognized and given a state. So it was a very touching ceremony. And there were about 50 veterans that came forward. Next, the audience was treated to a performance by Pride and Joy, a very popular party band, usually in our summer concert series. So we brought them early this year, and we had lots of people dancing, and they played the hits of the 70s and 80s. They did a Michael Jackson tribute that was pretty cool. Also, of course, as requested, we did have representatives from the Blue Star Moms and also Sentinels of Freedom. And we also had continued our art project that started with the Art and Wind, in which people filled out cards, and they were different colors, which reflected a flag, a U.S. flag. So that was very nice. So that was this year's event. We've had good comments on the event, very positive comments. I have a couple here. One attendee said, I do miss the fireworks, but have to say that Pride and Joy was the best band to play for the free event. They They made the holiday completely festive for all ages, and everyone had so much fun. It was a joyous event. In the patch, it said, "I thought it was a good way to honor those that have served our country." And this was by a resident who was having a picnic with family and friends at the park. And I know we've received some other very positive comments. So with that, we want to talk about today and why we're here. So today, the commission, as asked by the city council, is here to take input from residents and also to hopefully form a committee. We've posted a timeline right behind the chair. So it starts with the community forum, which is today. We hope to form this committee, and they'll be meeting with three commissioners and in July and August. The hope is by the community forum in September that there'll be some ideas that have formulated, and those can be brought back to that forum and can be discussed, and we can have a very interactive workshop forum at that time. Once that's done, and we hopefully feel we have a few ideas that we want to pursue, then the staff will start their work. We'll be helping out throughout this process, but we'll start the work of budgeting and, you know, permitting and all the things we have to do to have an event of that magnitude. And then we'll also, as the city council just approved, some online input processing will be peak democracy. We hope to, in October, be ready to have this as one of the topics so that the community then can provide input on those ideas. And then we hope to go before commission in October. That would be the 10th of October. We need them to go with the recommendation to the policy committee of the city council. And then finally in December, the city council's final approval. The reason for this timeline is that come January, we have to know what we're doing in July. It takes time to secure contracts and make the plans necessary for an event of this size. So similar to last year, and then we needed a decision made by mid-year. So this is the timeline that hits 2013. This is the way our department works. A lot of people think, well, they just throw an event together. But it really does take quite a few months of advanced planning to do an event of that magnitude. So even though this is for January, this will be for July of 2013, there's no reason we can't also be looking ahead at 2014, 2015, and beyond. So the committee has the ability to say, maybe this is what we can do this year, but perhaps by 2014 or 15 or 16, and as well, the economy we hope is going to be improving, that we can plan ahead. And that's the hope, at least of staff, that we can get some even more advanced planning, because then it gives us more time to put things into action for you. So with that, that's the direction. And
at the last Parks Commission meeting, what we did is we formed a subcommittee. The subcommittee consists of three commissioners: Vice Chair Mighty, Commissioner Lopez, and Commissioner Dorley. And so that's part of the committee. Those three individuals will form the committee, and what we're also looking for is citizens who wish to participate in that committee. Those citizens who wish to participate can sign up on that list. Dates will be selected. And then that citizen and commission committee can come up with ideas and recommendations over the period of time to eventually work with staff, make the recommendations to the Parks Commission, and eventually make recommendations to the City Council. So thank you, first of all, for all being here on a Saturday morning. And what we want to do is get your input. What do you want to see? What do you like? What don't you like? What your recommendations are? Because this is your city, this is your 4th of July, and so we wanted to get as much information as possible. And the way we handle it is just, if you want to raise your hand, be recognized, and just start speaking on up, whatever you'd like to do, which is great. And if we have any comment cards, we can take those now or later. And if anyone wants to start, we can start on up. Yes, ma'am.
I have a question.
Yes, ma'am.
Are you informing the community of these meetings?
Esther, do you want to talk about how staff communicated all this information about how these meetings are occurring?
Yes. We started the process immediately with a postcard that was distributed starting with the Art and Wind Festival. Is that the first? Which highlighted both dates. And then it also was on the website.
website, we did a press release, we sent an email.
Press release to whom?
It goes out to all local media. We also notified all 700-plus folks who emailed their responses to last year's 4th of July.
Oh, interesting. I know 5 people who did not receive anything on email yet wrote letters in, so maybe those didn't want to go through.
Oh, they wrote letters in.
Or emailed in, sorry.
If we had their email addresses, they were added to the, I mean, that it went out in bulk to all, correct?
Yeah, okay.
And we did receive quite a few responses, which the commission has copies of those. Cool, that will take me out. Nicole's our marketing.
I think that's about it.
Okay, I was curious.
No, that's fine, thank you. Any other, anyone want to speak up first or talk about what they liked, what they didn't like, or what they'd like to see differently? Do we have any comment cards?
They just give it to me a lot.
I know what you're going to say.
Okay.
We also have comment cards if you'd rather fill some of them.
Okay.
Oh, and it wasn't the red card.
All right. So I'll read the comment card that we have from Roz. Would you like me to read this, Roz?
No, I always like, I'm a ham, I like to. I came up with this idea, and I mentioned it at the GOD, which I can never pronounce right. It's not like GOD. I don't like
GAD.
GAD, okay. GAD, you GAD.
Now, Roz, just for everyone, can you tell what the GAD stands, what it is, please?
Okay.
And you don't have to
say it. GAD is where they take hillside property that they can't be developed, and then they, I don't know exactly what they do with it, they protect it.
Yes.
You know, whatever. But basically, the idea was, and the GAD is probably not a good idea, but the idea I came up with is because in San Ramon, the fireworks, I don't know, when you were saying there's usually 800 or 1,000 people, was that at the fireworks show?
No.
How many people come to the fireworks show that didn't come, you know, that we got too many last year, but how many people typically come?
We estimate between 30 and 40,000.
That many people go to Central Park?
They're in Central Park and all around this particular area, which starts with the marketplace. Through Mission Branch, Chevron, AT&T, so it's this perimeter area. The streets, because we closed 2 streets, so people were also in the streets as well. So, and they usually come in between the hour, you know, around 8 o'clock is when we see the height.
Just for the aerial display. Because I've never been to Central Park for the aerial display. Like a lot of people, I watch it from my house, I watch it from the Iron Horse Trail, I go to the neighbor's house, and they have a party, and you watch it. So a lot of people watch it from different parts of the city. And even, I guess, even the people who are going to Central Park weren't going there because it was Central Park. There was an event there like there was this year, which I thought was a great event. I really liked it. I thought that went very well. But they watch it, and she was saying they come at 8 o'clock. Well, the event in Central Park ended, what, about 7:30?
Yes.
So that was a good time to end, and you'd have an event there. But you don't set off the fireworks there. You set off the fireworks where nobody can go, and nobody knows where it is, and all you get is an aerial display that happens over the city, but nobody goes to it. And then my idea, which I wrote on the card, get together with the Chamber of Commerce, come up with some viewing locations that are good for wherever this is going to be mysteriously set off, this hidden site. And it can change every year. It doesn't have to be from the same place. So 1 year it's going this way, 1 year it's going that way. But you have your viewing site set up commercially. So they go to the Marriott Hotel, and they have a thing in the parking lot, and they all have drinks and get a room, or they go to one of the restaurants. Dave is scowling, he doesn't like this idea. But the idea, you coordinate it with the chamber so that if people are coming in from other places, they have a destination to go to, and it's not all in the same place.
And
they bring in money instead of costing money.
Would you Would you, if these were, would you want the chamber to charge? Are you thinking about the
money? That might not be a bad idea. Maybe the chamber, you know, sort of like Taste of the City or whatever, they charge an amount, and then people can go to whatever these different locations are. They'd have to reserve it. And then there's some sort of a reduced rate, or they get a cocktail, or they get something for free for the charge, and then they can spend more. But, you know, I mean, come up with something creative here. Something, the idea is, and I got this from when Scott Perkins said, people don't go to the park, they see the, you know, they go, they watch the display.
Right.
And then we could even maybe get some of those nasty people from Danville coming and spending their money here.
Thank you very, well, thank you very much, Roz.
Okay.
I really appreciate it.
Sure.
And ma'am, thank you. Do you mind if I ask, if I call you ma'am, or do you want,
oh, yeah.
If you feel like you want to raise, if you feel like
Jan,
you want to say your name, Jan? Jan? Welcome, Jan.
Thanks. To me, the charm of this event is it's free. It's a gift to our city. It's a gift to our community. It's something that we can do with our families and our friends and not be forced to pay money to fight the traffic. The residents, most of the residents in town have a place in their neighborhoods or very close by, not just Central Park, where they can watch this show. I know in my neighborhood, which is Deer Ridge, we have 300, 400 people who come to a lot. There is no drinking or very, very little drinking, and people have a wonderful time. We've been residents here since 1981 and have watched the fireworks grow. Our friends all come over. We have a barbecue. It's in our house. They wait till the any traffic of people who've come to the fireworks show or events at Central Park dissipates, and then they leave. And it's wonderful. San Ramon has always really been a positive community, but lately I've seen things like those beautiful banners we have at the holidays, wishing us happy holidays, gone. Now the fireworks display, gone. The Wind Festival, I don't count because that's also a money-making opportunity. You know, that brings people in to spend money. It's nice that it's here, but you know, we do fight the traffic to that too. We walk in. You know, this fireworks event to me really enforced a community spirit, enforced walking. Walk in if you don't like the traffic, park, you know, park at, who knows, E-Mile, walk in. It's just such a wonderful thing. It's a shame to let it go. And to me, it's just another thing where San Ramon is becoming a little bit too much pro-money, pro-business, less community, less resident, less families who have enjoyed the peacefulness and the beauty of San Ramon.
So would it be fair to say you'd like to see the fireworks back?
Definitely.
How would you like the city to look at in terms of funding it? What, do you have any suggestions concerning mm-hmm. that?
I say we just put it into the budget. I mean, we're not a city that is on the verge of bankruptcy, so let's put it in the budget. I mean, if we really want to get funky, put a tax. You know, how many families would enjoy the fireworks? So maybe we tax each home $2. You know, I don't know how much it costs. We have a lot of homes here. See if we can add something like that. I don't know, but I'm here not because of the money. I'm here because of the charm of our community and the real, real gut-wrenching, you know, feeling that, wow, our community just went totally towards money and much less towards a community feeling.
And one of the issues to address Jane's concerns also, were there other issues besides budgetary issues that dealt with the issue concerning not having fireworks? Was police security an issue?
Definitely.
Ms. Lucas, can you address that? And if we can, mm-hmm. do you mind if I ask Jan, is that okay? Esther, can you address that, please?
Well, sure. In your fact sheet, I mean, if you read through the report, you can see over the years what happened with this event, which started as a small town event, grassroots sort of effort, and grew into a regional event where we were one of the very few cities
while we understand most of our residents, and what we used to hear in North Park was most of our residents stay away from Central Park because it's too crowded and, you know, it wasn't that hometown thing here. They did do what you're saying, is enjoyed it from hilltops and other parks, and those are other parks were impacted as well. But with the regional event status of this, in comes the traffic issues. We have a small police force who would be in the park during the day, but once the fireworks started and the lights went down, all of our police need to be out on the streets to then deal with the traffic leaving this area. During that time, we had safety issues. We did have a couple of these last, this year before, we did have a couple of incidents where we needed emergency response and they couldn't get to it because they couldn't get back to the park. And we didn't have the police security in the park to protect the people in the park. So our police chief felt very nervous about this event and the way it had, you know, the way it was being handled as of 2011. We could not promise our citizens this would be a safe event without adding more security, more lights, more porta potties, much more equipment, which each thing adds dollars. So by the time we came up with the numbers that would ensure a safe event for everyone who's attending, and not only those attending, but those that also within the city watching, doubled the cost. So one thing does impact the other, but the main concern was safety.
The part that I think you're not addressing, though, is why the Wind Festival, why the Primos to Primos run, why the women's golf tournament, all that also involves extra money, extra security, traffic congestion. You know, it's not just the 4th of July event that's costing our city this money. So, you know, let's take out the Primos to Primos run. That closes the streets, that involves extra security. You know, it just isn't fair to me that our city has picked the 4th of July fireworks to get rid of when there's so many other things that also cause those same problems.
And in other words, first of all, the Primos to Primos run, since the expected cost, tell me if I was wrong, if we can address this, would have increased to $318,000, is that correct? How much does the city pay for the Primos to Primos run?
Primos is a permitted event done by the schools, the Ed Foundation. And so there are agreements with the Ed Foundation where the city does support, some of the support, but they actually do pay for the services that they
the Primos, the Ed Foundation does?
Right. I mean, it is a permitted event by another organization. The Art and Wind Festival is a bit different. It's a large event, but it doesn't have the impact that the evening event of the fireworks has when the lights go down. When the lights go down, the park is completely dark. And we have that many people in one area at one time. It is a scary thing, and we need security. The Art and Wind Festival closes by dark, and it doesn't have the traffic impacts because it's an event that goes on for 2 days, and people are coming and going. People are coming and going all day long.
Cutting quite a bit of traffic there, but
yes. I mean, I've driven around during the Art and Wind Festival. You can still get through. You can't get through. People stop on the streets to watch the fireworks during that time. 9:30 and 10:30 to 11 o'clock, the incidents happening within the city are pretty massive. Because it's dark, there are thousands of people in the park, and they all try to leave at the same time. Our police are overwhelmed because they're trying to control traffic, but they're not here in the park. So it's not an issue of that we can't handle it, but it requires more resources. No longer handle it within our own small resources. We need to expand those resources. And so that's the issue.
One question.
Not,
Ms. Lucas, in terms of the expenditures, what was suggested or recommended was an expenditure of $318,000 for the Art and Wind Festival. How much money is expended by the city, or how much money does it come out of the budget approximately? Jan, that was one of your concerns, is that correct?
Definitely. Yeah,
approximately.
Kind of got off the tangent there.
That's okay.
Approximately $120,000.
And does the city make any money out of that?
Well, nonprofits, it depends how you look at it. It's a moneymaker for nonprofits. Our nonprofits in town, they run $8,000. They make $18,000, and it's 26 different nonprofit groups from the area. They benefit from the Wind Festival to make the money they need to operate during the year, so they operate all the
food. Well, let's compare apples to apples, though. Are there community booths at Central Park for the 4th of July celebration?
Not in the last couple of years.
Okay, well, there's an idea right there.
Well, I will add, the last 2 years of the festival, the 4th of July, 2010 and 2011, the Chamber of Commerce had food booths, and they brought in the kids' rides, and as of 2011, they got there. They weren't making money. You have to understand, our Wind Festival will be a two-day festival where people come, and yes, they do spend the day, and they perhaps frequent the art exhibits and the entertainment, and they do, while they're here, spend money eating and so forth, which helps our nonprofit. 4th of July is an evening event. It's a very small, contained event. They don't come to spend money. They come to watch the fireworks. And so the Chamber found that out with a two-year try of trying to have booths, and it didn't work.
Jan, if we could, what I'd like to do is let Ms. Lucas finish, and then we'll come back 1 second. Ms. Lucas, did you have anything further to comment?
No.
And Jan, would you be interested in being on the
committee? Well, I have one question.
Sure.
I'm really confused. I thought this was a community forum to give our input. I did not realize it would become.
Oh, no, you can give your input, and if you have questions.
But everything that we say is quickly being knocked down.
Oh, no. You asked a question concerning expenditures.
Okay, well, I'm done. That's how I'm feeling right now.
Oh, no.
I'm suggesting or saying, oops, nope, tried that, done that.
Oh, no.
Nope, can't do that. Nope, we don't want the, we're not going to have community booths there. It's been tried and done, we're done. I thought this was for the community to bring in ideas.
But it's also for you to understand why they're having this meeting and why.
So is this.
Yes, you can have this one. Take it, please.
Okay. Thank you.
I'm independent.
I'm
sorry. I really like people to read what I write. I don't do it for the $35 I get paid. I do it for 10 years. For 8 years, I spent all my money myself doing this. And hardly anybody knows. And if she would be reading what I'm writing, she would know a hell of a lot more than she knows.
If we could, to address your issue, Jan, no, this is for input.
Okay,
but if you do have a question, since your issue was concerning money issues, and since we have staff right here, your issue was concerning how much money, one of the issues you acknowledged,
exactly.
How much money, that's why we have staff here to address it.
Okay.
No, this
simple,
is...
That's a simple answer.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Okay, thank you.
We want to know what it is, but if we have staff here that can address your issue as to cost, which is a good point. If the cost is $318,000 for the 4th of July, how much does the Art and Wind Festival cost the city? Mm-hmm. And that was the purpose.
That's all I was curious about.
Wonderful. Yes, Mayor...
Just for the record, Primos to Primos does cost the city because we do a lot of in-kind. So it is a factor as far as funds going to politics and Primos.
And it may be that the committee makes the recommendation to have fireworks next year. That's the whole purpose, get in the information. And if we do have individuals that can address concerns that are here right now, that's the whole purpose.
I want to say, I hear you. I'm the kind who's still at age 46 cries at fireworks, so I love fireworks. So I hear what you're saying, but I also have a strong sensitivity to safety issues because I have two little ones. So first of all, I want you to know that anybody who speaks today, we are absolutely listening because we want to get the perspective, and everybody's going to have a little different perspective. You know, staff will have perspective from putting on a giant logistical issue as an event like that. You have a perspective, and I've participated in those kind of parties where you're at someone's home and you barbecue, and it is a lot of fun. Somebody who travels down to Central Park, they may have a different perspective because they've seen somebody with alcohol or they've seen somebody trying to barbecue. So I just want to validate that, yes, I'm very excited. I know all my fellow commissioners are very excited to hear what you guys have to say. But I know personally, as I make decisions about things, I want to hear the thought process behind why decisions have been made in the past, because I reflect on it. And then I kind of combine that with where my perspective's coming from, and it helps me to move forward. And I think that's what this process is about us moving forward, taking everything into account and coming up with the best decision. So, but thank you, I did hear, because I totally am that kind of person too.
Anyone else would like to chip in what they want, what they like, what they don't like? Yes. What they want to see?
Yeah.
Now's your time.
Hi, I'm Gary Albert.
Hi, Gary.
I'm here in Santa Monica. I live in the Bollinger Building. We've been here since 86, and we were walking to the toilet as well. While we love fireworks, you know, I think times have changed a little bit. I personally believe that the money thing could have been solved. I think that they could have found enough money to get $318,000. But some of the things that you're not going to fix if this is the only city in the area that has fireworks, and that you're going to attract more and more people to the city. And in fact, we personally stopped going to Santa Monica in Central Park because it's gotten so bad. I don't think that's going to change. You know, the cities continue to run out of money and make these horrible decisions and no longer have fireworks. We're not going to fix that. You know, we could have hired police, we could have found the money, even if we had the money. I still don't think we're going to. Kind of experience that most people wouldn't say I'm going to enjoy it. So with that said, I think what we did this year was a great first step. I think we can make it even better over time. And some of the things that occurred to me, while the concert was fun, but it felt a lot like the Sunday afternoon concerts to me more than anything else. I think that is a little bit extra, you know, with the veterans and slower came down on the tubes. I think we need to make it a little longer event, bring back things that might also include a nighttime component. You know, we've all seen concerts where there are laser shows and there's ground shows and things like that. And big screen movies or something that I think over time we can grow the event so that it starts in the afternoon with this, with the concert, with the symphony playing, all the patriotic music, but then let it go a little bit longer tonight. There's something that's there in the evening as well. So I felt like we went home and sort of the day ended too really fast. So I think there are things like that we can do, but I don't see how, as much as I like fireworks, I also miss talking to the teller at the bank. I also miss having somebody that helps me check my suitcase when I travel. Things are a little bit different now. And I think that we really do need to stick with what we started this year, but just continue to look for ideas to make a more pleasurable and more robust experience. And I think the city can do that.
Yes, we have.
Well, I just had a quick question. This year, the only city with fireworks was Livermore. How did that go? Does anybody know how that went?
Pleasanton.
What do you call it? Sort of, yeah, the fair. The fair. But they always have fireworks. And they didn't have them on the 4th of July. But I just wanted to know how it was.
I had a report this morning, and they were extremely excited about how it went, and they charged to get into the event, and they were very happy with the event. I haven't talked to Pleasant Hill to see how theirs are gone, or Concord to see how theirs are gone, or Martinez to see how theirs are gone, but I think they're more along the lines of what we were doing, and at some time I'd like to see or hear how this committee feels about what they think would have been the event if we on the council had followed your recommendation.
Commissioner Ernst?
I can report a secondhand report that I got from the Livermore. The report that I got from the person who went to the event was that there was a great choke point getting into the venue because it was isolated. The cars were having to tunnel down into the windows. They were back up here to the freeway, and because it was done at the Los Angeles campus. and it was rather chaotic from a getting there logistics standpoint. This person getting to the court has a sensitivity threshold for being a congested area, but I respect her opinion about what it was to try to get to the event. She didn't focus on how good the fireworks were. She was focusing on how difficult it was to get to the event. Because they were able to do it like other places, isolate, charge, and control the crowd. If I could expand on something, I think the next event would include a daytime component and multicultural expressions. We have an extremely diverse community here in San Diego. A large Pakistan, Southeastern, Asian, Indian component, which as well as cricket and cricket is parrots, is really growing in San Diego and other. And I think that if their communities had expressed an interest in doing this, those communities would have the opportunity to present cultural items such as food and dance during a celebration of our patriotic event called the 5th of July. It would do a lot to help those communities understand what we're all about, for us to understand their culture and them all come together at the same time. Well, I'm not on the committee, but I'll just throw that out for our joint committee and so forth like that to consider for next year.
The lady in the third row. Good morning, ma'am.
Hi, I'm Trish Nelson. When she originally said, he actually addressed what I was going to say.
Thanks, Trish.
There were the fireworks in Concord, Pleasant Hill, Livermore, of course, charged. When we look them up on the internet to find some of the fireworks, others at the arena, there's many places. And I like the idea of the multicultural, because we live in a diverse society throughout the whole area, and I think that's a great idea. I think there needs to be something for the 4th of July, whether it be fireworks or something else. Charging for it sounded like a good idea to me. It would probably reduce the number of people that are congested in the city center. Parking is always a problem and issue. I would like to see the ramp behind us be utilized as parking, but I don't know if that's even possible. Whether that's city land now or if that's private property now.
Which area are you referring to, Trish?
The land behind us, the empty block back there.
Oh. The one where all the gulls are, that empty space right there?
Yes, right.
Turkeys
and
gulls. Yes. Is that owned by?
That's known as the dirt lot.
Oh, the dirt lot. Yes, that
is utilized for parking. Always has been utilized for the 4th of July parking.
Who owns
still,
it?
Built in that. That's still city. That's what the city center will eventually be built. So it is city owned property. And it is used.
So whether or not they do redo the fireworks or charge for it, or they need to be something, I think, for the city. We felt a little bit lost, like, now we need the fireworks. We need them ongoing because we have a grandchild that is needing to sleep. I think the city needs
something. Thank you, Trish. Anyone else? Again? Put in what they like to see or what they like, don't like, what they want to see. This is the time to talk about it and what they'd like to see for the future. And because it's important to try to get as much information as you possibly can. Yes, sir.
I'd just like to say that we've been in San Francisco since 1984, and we've enjoyed every year the fireworks, so we'd like to see it come back. Ross put up a good suggestion about moving periodic. I never thought about that, but maybe that's an option.
And I know that I've lived in San Ramon, I'm trying to think, over 19 years, and I love the fireworks as well. So, I will wait to see what, as a commissioner, what the committee presents to us. I make no opinion at this point. I love the fireworks. I miss them, but I understand the situation. But for all of our commissioners here, we're going to wait and see what the subcommittee presents to us, then make a decision, and then present our recommendations to the City Council. Yes, sir. Good morning.
Hi, good morning, Mr. Lorenz.
Good morning, sir.
been here since, I guess, mid-90s, and really playing the game lesson for that. It's just a question, you know, it sounds like it's a resource issue, wondering if there's been any conversation with the Tri-Valley City about sharing resources for us, like COBOL.
Can staff present, Ms. Lucas or Ms. Giuliano, do you want to, can you address, is it Joe? Sir, your name? I'm sorry.
Joe,
can you address his concerns?
Well, I will mention in the report, it was one of the ideas that staff presented last year, that could be a possibility to try to work with our surrounding communities to help with resources. But at this point, because a decision was made for this year, we have not pursued that. But certainly that's something that we could recommend and interested.
So, Joe, are you suggesting to see if San Ramon can coordinate with other cities in the area? Is that what
you're saying? Well, yeah, exactly. I mean, I think from my perspective, rather than running from the challenge, it's embrace the challenge of resources. Because we love the fireworks, and really it's a great role at the end of the day. It really caps all the other events that are in the city, and we really miss it.
Thank you, sir. Any other comments or anyone else? Yes, Mayor Wilson.
You know, I've lived here since 74, and I've had the opportunity of being on both sides now. It's a little interesting here. The last year was an anomaly because of the fact that there weren't any fireworks in the area, so everyone came here. And walking through Central Park was a little scary, because we had people coming into the area that had different values than we do as residents of San Ramon. So that was a major problem. I do believe, though, that fireworks, 4th of July, that's who we are, San Ramon residents, part of our culture. I hope that we can possibly bring it back, but we have to be very cognizant of safety. Is the most important for everyone in this area. And it was a little frightening walking through these parks. I have to be really very realistic. Being able to control that is, I think, is paramount, because we all want to make sure that we're safe. But on the other hand, I was in the area, and my main concern this year were the mini fireworks going around here, and having the problem of some yahoos setting one of these hillsides on fire because they feel that they want to do that. So that's the other. How do you balance that to make sure that something's there so that we don't have people and cause more damage to a possible damage to the area? Working with Chevron or any of the others to support it financially, because I don't think it is financially. I think that as a resident speaking, yes, we could do this. But it is the safety factor in dealing with that. And I think once we accomplish that, then everyone will have that comfort level. So that's the, I hope that everyone will look at that as one of the factors.
Jan?
Really good point. It makes me think, since 1985 when they started, this year was the first year that we left San Ramon. We went to Tahoe. And I think about that. We live right next door to a big empty lot that goes out into an open space. And we always felt, I mean, not only the beautiful aspect of having the fireworks there, but we always felt it was kind of our job to police that lot, make sure that nobody dropped a cigarette. You know, we always went out after and kind of checked around, walked the lot to make sure. But that's very true. You know, with us gone, you know, what could happen in that lot? I didn't think of that, because it is big open, shoot off some fireworks, burn it down.
And Jan, you live in Deer Ridge, right?
Yes.
With that open space.
Exactly.
What did you think about Roz's idea about having it at a different location rather than,
you know, I just don't see that, because where we do the fireworks right now is so big and grandiose. You know, everybody surrounding can see that. So I don't know, in my mind, I'd have to think more about where we could possibly set off fireworks in a safe location. I mean, you can't just set them off in the the end of the street. You need another big empty space like we have with that big lot.
If you could, do it at a location where people can see.
I kind of take the fifth on that, because I would need to know where that space is. You know, was it as safe? Was it as easy, you know, far enough away from things that could burn?
And part of the community forum is to talk about the ideas and get input from each other's ideas. Anybody else like to comment about what they'd like to see, what they want to see? Yes, ma'am. Trish?
Yes, Trish Johnson. When you talk about putting a different space and open space and all of that, I'm not sure if Camp Parks is in Dublin or San Ramon.
Dublin.
Okay. We're thinking that's a lot of open space. The fire department could easily monitor, that area, and it would be visible from a large area. But if it's not in San Ramon,
that is important. That probably would be the possibility. We're talking about federal land, but we have a very good relationship with the Army base there, and I'm sure that someone from this committee or staff could go and talk to them about that. And because it is the 4th of July, it is celebrating everything that we hold dear, that might be an opportunity that everyone, and that might be an opportunity working with Dublin also, so that you have a regional, and we can all, and it's high enough, so maybe we can all take advantage of it. Again, it's the same reason.
Ross?
Isn't that the place where the Mythbusters guys leased that, they rent out that facility where they shot off their cannon?
Yep.
I mean, I guess that's a facility, that area is available for leasing or rental or something. Why don't we use that?
That was exactly on Camp Parks. It was an area around Camp Parks that did that. But the fireworks are different. But to your point, the fireworks are different. I think the Army might embrace that as it needs or connect with it. They're always looking for ways to do that.
Yes, sir.
You know, just a thought. On a couple of these venues, you know, like Memorial Park is high, a little bit higher than Central Park here, so you can see it from different perspectives throughout the city. Also, and I don't know the name of the park, but on Old Ranch Road.
Old Ranch Park.
The problem with that area, especially with Memorial Park, is the fact that that huge open space behind that. We have the brush and land there. Possible if there's something happening on that. And then logistically putting it there and everyone converging on that area again. I think what we want to look at is something with the safety aspect as well as more than that. That might be problematic on that. Public logistically, they might be problematic.
The only reason why I brought that one up is because that's high up.
Yes.
And you don't have to offer conversion underneath it. You can stay down below.
See, what the problem I see that you're trying to be rational and reasonable. And that's, you can't do that when you're speaking about this, because we wouldn't have this problem now, because we had people coming from outside. We are San Ramon residents. We care about our city. We understand, because this is our home. You have people coming in that don't have that same bond to the city. So you have to take that in consideration. We have outsiders coming in.
That's true. That's
a great idea as far as being visual, and that's why Camp Parks or something in a high area of Camp Parks would serve this entire area. You can still have 4th of July, it would be safe and everyone could see it. You wouldn't have people coming in to converging on one area, which is the park, because it was very scary last year going through and having everyone with the little hibachis and dumping out the coals, and people that you walk to the park and in 5 minutes you recognize someone. I was walking to the park for almost 15 minutes. I didn't know anyone there. And these were outside people coming in. And that is a safety factor.
Anyone else want to give some input? Yes, Misha.
Okay, so I definitely haven't seen the 4th of July show as much as you guys have, because I've been here for so many years. So from a youth perspective.
Are you 17?
Yes. I've seen the fireworks display from Old Ranch Park, from on Pine Valley Road, by the roundabout up there in that area, and I've seen it also from Morgan Drive. And I've never actually been to the Central Park 4th of July. And I have to say that fireworks are really a part of 4th of July. It's like they go together, and fireworks make 4th of July, and it makes it interesting to be there. And from what I'm hearing about Camp Parks, the only thing is that you're going to have maybe a safety issue come up again. Because Central Park with the dirt lot has so much parking available. If you do it at Camp Parks, I feel like everyone's going to crowd around Old Ranch Park. And Old Ranch Park doesn't have as much parking available as Central Park, and you also have the residential areas there, which could come also a concern. So.
Well, this is great. Because this is part of also what the subcommittee is going to talk about and the purpose of it, and you know what are going to be the recommendations. And this is issues for the committee. Will they recommend fireworks? And then the issues are how do we deal with public safety and how do we pay for it? Or it may be that the recommendations are not to do fireworks. Any other comments or questions or anything by any of the commissioners? Any other questions or comments from anybody in the group? Yes, is it Gary?
It's Gary. Yes. I guess I had a question for the experts that put on the fireworks shows. There's been a lot of talk about how it's a community thing here, and you can see it from all around. But we're also talking about shooting them off someplace far. I guess my question is...
Excuse me, Ross. Sorry.
My question to the expert who do fireworks shows, what is a reasonable distance from where fireworks are shot off that you can actually get a show? I remember watching a few years ago from the west side, and while we could see Pleasanton Fairground, we could see Salmon, Pleasanton were like maybe this far off the ramp. So you shoot them off someplace too far, it would be interesting to me to have someone explain, you know, you can see them well from a mile away, 2 miles away, and you know, how that might work.
So your question is, one of the issues to consider if fireworks are selected, or what is the distance, and if you do have it at a location, can people see it without having to crowd around? I don't know if we have anyone that's an expert at this time that can say that.
We're not an expert, but we do work with the power techs that are here, and we do know that to do a high aerial display, I know we had some years ago, I can't remember, but the end of the fireworks were lower, and a lot of complaints from those who watch in the surrounding areas. What happened? They didn't do them high enough. And so, you know, we made sure that, so to be visual from a great distance, they have to be very high, like we do over here in the Shrench. You do have, the higher they are, the larger the drop zone, which is why we have to close off Iron Bush Trail and all the area over the Shrench 1. Parking lot, everything has to be secure. And we had problems in the past of some people sneaking through. It's pretty scary. So the drop zone is throughout that entire parking lot. So that shows you how far those mortars go. We talked last year as we were doing some research about doing a ground display, which would be what they use sometimes off buildings. For, you know, if you did it on top of a building, you could see it, but you can't do the high display like we did in the So there's a lot of those guys are the experts, but we certainly can have someone come in and talk to us about scenarios and flop zones and height and what to be able to see. The reason, I know I've been looking for the Livermore fireworks to see if I can see them, and I know I'm like way up on, I thought I could see them from New Year's Parkway, which is pretty high, and I couldn't because of all the hills in that area.
appreciate it. Thank you, Gary. Any other comments, suggestions, things that the committee should consider?
I'd just like to encourage everybody to remember that this is a process. So as you go back and reflect on what's been said and you come up with that brilliant idea that solves the whole issue, no. As you go back and think about things and you have further input, whether you share that on the committee and join the committee or communicate that via email, we want to hear, you know, what you have to say. So this is just a the beginning of the dialogue as far as I'm concerned.
Absolutely. And that's the whole purpose. What works, what you like, what you don't like, and what you want to see. And anyone else want to give any comments about what they'd like to see? We encourage, and all the commissioners here, we encourage everyone to please participate in the committee. The committee will, again, consist of three commissioners and citizen committee members. They set the schedule, staff will be involved, they ask the issues, and staff will research the issues and call whatever experts, for example. If an issue was concerning high-level fireworks, if that was something the committee was interested in, bring in somebody that does that. Say, okay, this is the distance, and what are the possible locations within the city? Your 4th of July. Any commissioners? Vice Chair Mike.
I just wanted to make one statement. I wanted to echo what Mr. Wilson said in regards to traffic. One of the problems is we need to know all the facts before we can make a decision on what we're going to do and how we're going to do it. I think the important thing is to remember that more people attend the July 4th activity than any other activity we have in the city. And we have probably 5 or 6 entrances to the city. Most other fireworks, like the one at Livermore, was held at the college. They can control it because there's only one way of getting in there. We have 5 or 6 areas to patrol. And it's sad to say, but some people's attitude changes after dark. Things change. Most of the activities we have is during the day and we end them before dark. That July 4th goes till 9, 10, 11 o'clock at night by the time we get traffic out. So it's important to know all the facts before we can make a decision on where it's going to go. I've been to fireworks activities in the middle of the city in a stadium, right downtown city. So I don't think it's important to where the fireworks are. I think it's important to have the fireworks in an area where we can control the crowd after the event is over and control the crowd while they're in the park. We have certain city ordinances that disallow barbecues, other than those that's furnished by the park. We have drinking requirements in the park. You can't have it. How do we control all this during an activity where there's 100,000 people involved in the activity? When we understand all of it, then we can do it. But I think, it doesn't make any difference where we hold it. We can have it right here in Central Park if we are able to control the crowds and do a good job. And I just wanted to add, those of you here, I want to thank you for being here. Talk to your neighbors. Let's get a bigger crowd here on the next meeting so that we can discuss what has to be done and how we can do it effectively.
Any other comments from anyone right now or any like to give any input concerning that? So this is the procedure. Yes, Ms. Lucas.
Can I just add two things on the committee? We would love to have some of you serve on the committee and help us to make some plans. So the plan is over here. And
And so in this case, the next step will be that the committee will be meeting. They set their schedule. They can meet 4, 5, 6 times, whatever they think. If after this you would like to be on the committee, who should any of the residents and then who should anyone that's interested that may not be able to attend here, who should they contact, Ms. Lucas?
They can call
me.
You can call or you can send an email to parks@sanramon.ca.gov.
You can find my card, you can feel free to contact me if you wish, or the parks general email address, or call our main number.
And can this also be put on the website so that individuals can be encouraged to join the committee as well?
I believe it is already.
Well, and we'll post.
We'll make sure that I'll pay you.
And it will be open forum as well.
Yeah. If there's three of you, it would have to be. Probably, we're looking at a fall launch. We have to put a social media
policy
in place.
So then what will happen is the committee meetings will be meeting. Staff will be involved and present on those committee meetings. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. And then they'll take their direction from the subcommittee. And so it's a real just citizen participation and decide what it is that you want. The next community forum is the 13th. So this is incorrect?
That's correct.
Okay. The next is September 13th. Ooh. Right? 13th?
It's
the 13th,
sorry. Right. We wanted, the commission wanted one during a Saturday during the day, and then one that was also for those that may not be able to come on a Saturday to do it on an evening. And this will be over in the Doherty Valley Community Center. So Thursday, September 13th at 7 p.m. And then, again, we will do something similar. Take input. The commissioners that are part of the subcommittee will be here, and the citizens hopefully as well. And then take additional information and work it out and come up with additional suggestions. And then staff assistance will be continual throughout, not just on September 13th, but throughout that period of time, finding out what the issues are, what the answers are, what information the subcommittee needs. This online system will be in place October 1st through the 9th, and then the subcommittee can still meet. Okay, it's your committee, it's your 4th of July. And so the big thing is, you know, knowledge is power, and as much information and answers that you have is what's so important, and that we communicate as a community as to what the citizens want. A presentation hopefully will be made, and again, these dates can be fluid, those are the goals, but October 10th, presentation to the Parks and Community Services Commission, and then it will be forwarded to the City Council Committee with hopefully a presentation December 11th. But obviously the big timeline is for contracts to occur for the 4th of July for 2013. Dates will need some type of idea by January, because then you have to get those contracts into place. So any other questions or input or anything anyone would like to make, any comments by my fellow commissioners? First of all, on behalf of the commission, and thank you so much for coming. Taking the time off, or taking the time this morning. Thank you so much for all of your input, and really appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.